Hello and welcome to the DeviantArt podcast. It's an all new week. This week is Halloween and my name is Matt Buholtz. I'm your host, Gigi Matt B. Today we've got three guests with us, all celebrating the amazing world of costuming, cosplay, and Halloween. We figured with COVID being this year and not everyone being able to get dressed up and go out, why not talk to people who have made their lives around really perfecting the craft that goes into costuming and the excitement that goes into being able to become other people and celebrating those fandoms. So let's welcome our first guest, Yaya Han. Welcome.
Hi. Hello. I'm Yaya. I make costumes for a living.
I like that you said so simply. You have an empire of cosplay. You've made such a world out of it.
My life is cosplay. Yeah, my life is cosplay. I've been cosplaying for a long time, but yes, it's been my job for over 15 years now. And rocky start, but now I'm very happy to you know, have fabrics and patterns and other products that, you know, like, and these kitty ears too. So I make costumes for myself and I make costume products for, you know, the mass market. So That's all I think about.
It's so cool to be able to take your passion and really build it into that. So why don't you tell us, one thing I like to do is that kind of meme of how it started, how's it going? So give us a little brief snippet of where you started with cosplay and how you kind of got into it and where you're at now.
I started in 1999. So very, very long time ago, last decade still. I was very lucky to discover it when, you know, it was still budding. Cosplay was still, you know, a very new thing. And so I just been cosplaying for fun for many years. I entered contests and did everything that any cosplayer would do, except we didn't have social media then. So we had to like make do with like a mailing list and online forums and such, and conventions, of course. And so fast forward 20 some years later, I work in the cosplay industry and I'm very community focused and very interested in the culture of cosplay. And that kind of all culminated recently in me publishing a book about the culture of cosplay, you know, to sort of sum up everything that I have. Yes, I have it too here. So yeah, like if you want to know more about who I am and what I've done, I wrote a book called Yaya Han's World of Cosplay. And it details like my journey through it, as well as how cosplay has developed in the last 20 some years. And so, yeah, like I said, I love it. I love cosplay. Still doing it. Happy to be dressed up today.
So the book is amazing. I was very happy to get to read it this week. And we've got in the DeviantArt library now. When all this is passed and you get to visit LA again, we have to have you come in and sign it.
Please.
We've been building out that library. It's been a blast to really get to know our artists better. But your book was so fun because you really kind of take a journey through it. And what I loved was the way it was broken up in the early chapters of the different pieces. You kind of had these milestones of your journey, which was so cool, from, you know, the red fairy to, you know, your more later looks. And so one thing that I'd like to ask is like, why a book? What inspired you to take that on? Because that's no small feat to create a book.
No. I've always wanted to write about cosplay because it is often misunderstood and it's the only thing that I know. Like I could not write a book about most other subjects, but I can write a book about cosplay because I know it so well. And I also thought it was a very interesting story to show people like where cosplay came from and sort of the windy road that it took to become what it is today. And to also show like how we think as cosplayers, you know, like how did I decide to join and then what kept me here for 20 years and what might keep other people, you know, to cosplay for this long. And so it was difficult to write a book and but I had a publisher that supported me throughout, and I also hired some independent editors and sensitivity readers and people that could sort of guide me through to make sure that the way I was telling the story was resonating. And it's really weird to release a book during a pandemic. You know, I was expecting to go to events and talk to people and, you know, sort of show them the book in person and sign stuff. And that hasn't happened. So I'm very happy to have the chance to talk about it. And I'd like to say that it's good to have something like this to read when you don't have conventions. You know, it's like it really gets the nostalgia and also the interest continuing. Like,
yeah, it was fun seeing all the shots from the different conventions and be able to recognize not only people kind of progressing through those, because you see several of the cosplayers in your shots from your different groups, but also see the trends from over the years and remember like, oh yeah, that was the year that Avengers came out, or oh, that was the year that this happened.
So
much fun. And you do such a great job too of describing that feel of the convention and like that fun of like why cosplay, you know. And
Like it's there's no other way you can connect with people that way, because you're broadcasting what you love with your whole body. So, you know, and it's like your artists, they carry around their portfolios and, you know, you can show your art, but cosplayers, we wear the art, we are the art. So I think that is what makes people be able to connect with cosplayers instantly, and why we're such a huge part about of convention culture, you know?
Yeah. So I know that people in the audience always love asking questions. We are going to do a Q&A, so make sure to put your questions below and we'll get to those in just a couple minutes. But really quick, one of the things that you're so passionate about and that I love about your point of view is the culture of cosplay. Mm-hmm. And you always talk very much about that. So if I would like for you to tell the audience kind of what that means to you, what, how do you see the culture of cosplay?
I think we as humans inherently want to express ourselves, and to, I think in history, we've always had ways to dress up. Like, fashion was such a huge part of human history, and it denoted so much of who we were. But nowadays, in modern times, it's all about comfort and all about simplicity, and everyone wears the same type of fashion, whether it's, you know, a $6,000 sweatshirt or a, you know, $10 sweatshirt, it's still a sweatshirt. So it's like, we still want to find like these personas to be, and to, and I think cosplay just gives you everything that you could want in terms of how to express yourself and how to be not only creative, but also find aspects of yourself. Like, I think the reason why we dress up as fictional characters is because we want to aspire to certain, have certain traits that these characters have. You know, a character that is really cute and really bubbly, like, you know, Black Cat Diva that I'm wearing right now. Like, I might not feel that way when I woke up this morning, but once I put on the costume, I'm not me, I'm Black Cat Diva, you know? And so I'm like, it really does, like, it brings out parts of yourself by dressing up as a different character. And so, like, people wanting to dress up as superheroes or even villains, you know, somebody really menacing, and it says something about you. And it's so cool to sort of explore those different aspects. And I think that is what I wish people would understand about cosplay, is that it's not just, you know, once a year, like Halloween, you just like get to be somebody for a day. Cosplayers, we sort of always are looking for the next character that we want to be, and, you know, always working on the next dream. So,
yeah. So Orc in Boston actually kind of touched on that. They want to know what inspires you to create a certain costume. Are there specific character designs that draw you more to one than another?
Yes, I think it has many different reasons. Sometimes it's the character design, like a design is just like, oh my God, I want to make that. Sometimes it's, I want to look like that. And a lot of times it's, oh my God, this character just really touched me in some way, and I really want to be that character. And I always tell people, when you start cosplaying, just don't be intimidated by how to make the costume. Find a character that you love and let the character inspire you. You know, like, pull strength from the character. If something is hard, think about, like, you know, how cool it'll be when you finally get to be that character. So it's like, I think that's what guided me through so many years of making costumes, and why I'm still not tired of making costumes, because there's always something else that you can make and that you haven't made yet.
So throughout your book, there's the constant trend of trying to push yourself and setting a goal to accomplish something new. What is kind of your current goal right now to try and push yourself to the next step?
Oh man, well, pandemic has changed a lot of things. I feel like if you'd asked me that a year ago, it would have been very different. Right now, I want to make sure that my business continues. I have employees and I want to take care of them and, you know, myself and just be able to get through this period, first of all. And also just to find more ways to share what cosplay means. And like, I've thought about writing a second book, but still trying to sort of figure out what the theme will be and what themes to dive into. But I will say right now it's just sort of like get through this this weird situation and hope that we can continue being positive and to be creative throughout all of it.
So. Yeah, I think that's a big one. Hot Days Long Nights wants to know, have you ever needed to scrap a costume as you were creating it and start over? Which I think is something a lot of artists have to deal with.
Yes. Yes, I have. Every artist does. Every cosplayer does. It is completely normal. It's part of the process, honestly. And there have been costumes that I have abandoned, but I don't ever see it as abandoning. It's just it wasn't the right time or the right place. And sometimes I have costumes on my list for, 10 years. And finally, the stars line up and I make them. So it's like there's no right or wrong way to make a costume. And if it doesn't work out and you have to scrap it and start over, that's completely normal.
So do you have like one cosplay that you've always wanted to build out that you still haven't tackled yet?
I have several that are always like on my list and, they change sometimes. The one that I'm finally, hopefully this year we'll make is a traditional Chinese hanfu that is going to be super crazy elaborate and all with like from the Tang Dynasty and probably like I'm going to put some super natural elements to it. I want to make a fox demon, like a Chinese fox demon costume, and I've been collecting materials for many years and hopefully I can finally do that this year.
This is something that I think a lot of people are thinking on, especially now during COVID. Mm-hmm. What's your biggest tip for a cosplayer trying to gain an online presence for themselves?
Honestly, right now, that's all we have. We only have online. We don't have events. So think of like a simple way to set up where you can just create photos, like get a very simple lighting system, get maybe a fairly simple camera, tripod and all of that. Try to learn how to do photo shoots on your own, get like a remote for the little camera and if you like post consistently. I think for many of us, building a following means consistency and sharing yourself, throughout the process of a costume and not just the finished product. Like tell people the thought processes you have making the costume and show them progress and document your progress and share that so that people will actually follow through and see, what this costume means to you. Consistency and patience is definitely a big key. Like, don't worry too much about how many likes you get. Don't be discouraged if you don't get as many likes as you were hoping. It is difficult. Social media is, kind of a double-edged sword for all of us. And but I think it is also really a blessing that we have it right now, that we have the chance to cosplay online and do Instagram reels or TikTok or whatever other means you wanted to cosplay.
So let's see, one other one that we got was, when you create a costume, like what's kind of your breakdown of it? Like, what are the things that you know when you start a cosplay, like I need this and this?
I hunt for materials. That's where a costume becomes real, is when I have the materials inside my house. So I do a lot of research on how I would make a costume. I sketch the costume out. I sort of break down the design and think of all the different things that I need, or I look through my stashes and see what I already have. And then I very methodically order and buy everything that I need for the costume. And then I kind of hold myself up and just marathon make it. That's kind of, I think a lot of artists work that way where, you know, no distractions, you know, you put on a good podcast or good music or show, and then you just like craft. And then I make a to-do list for everything on the costume. Like I break it down in very small projects and, you know, so that it doesn't feel overwhelming. You're not tackling a whole costume today. You're just tackling the hair bows, you know, or you're just making a choker today. Mm-hmm. And it helps with feeling accomplished and helps pushing you along. That's also like sharing your progress online can also be very motivating because other people are like, oh my God, I'm so excited to see you make this. And so it makes you want to keep working. So
okay,
that's kind of how I make all my costumes.
A final question. Can anyone cosplay?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I talk about that a lot in my book is sort of the, you know, the thing that some people have where they're like, oh, well, I'm not, you know, skinny or I'm not, you know, pretty, so I shouldn't cosplay this character. And it's like, oh my God, no. Cosplay is truly for everyone. It has nothing to do with how you look or the ethnicity, gender, or body type you have. You can be any character that you want to. That is very, very important. And I really want people to feel empowered that they can take a character and make it their own. They can do their own spin on it and change the character to match what they're comfortable with and what they like to express aesthetically. And so I do talk about things in the book that I think could help people to push through those insecurities. I had to push through those insecurities myself. And I think it's very important for us to know that cosplay is not about like, you have to be perfect and exactly like the character. Is that you become the character and it's about how you feel as a character. So truly anyone can and should cosplay.
Well, that's amazing advice. And thank you so much for taking the time today. Before we sign off and move to our next guest, where can people get your book?
My book. Yes. So it's published, you know, it is in bookstores. So if you're in North America, you should be able to find this in a bookstore near you. But if for some reason you can't, pandemic also, you know, careful going outside, you can order it on Amazon. And you can also get it from me through yayahan.com and my copies will come signed. So yeah, plenty of chances to get the book. Definitely, hopefully it'll soothe, be a little soothing to read and, you know, give you some excitement.
It's got some amazing tips in it too. Everything from like making sure you've got the right photography to how to deal with social media and a lot of stuff that we covered on the podcast today, you go into in such great depth in the book as well. So
thank you
so much. But it was great having you on. I'm sorry it's so short today, but thank you for being a part of our first like.
Oh, this was such a pleasure. Yeah.
Halloween
I'll keep
slash cosplay.
Too.
Please, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure people in the chat would love to ask you more questions and say hi. But thank you very much. It was great seeing you.
Thank you. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. So, Liana, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for anyone in the chat who may not know you. I'm sure most of them do, but...
Hi, everyone. I am Vamp. I do lots of things in the Halloween spooky world. I've dabbled in cosplay. You may have seen me at a convention or two in the past. And today I'm here with all of you, which is amazing. I watched you and Yaya earlier. Matt, you look amazing.
Thank
Love
you.
It.
Faina did an amazing job. She's incredible.
It looks so good. And this is amazing because considering, like Yaya was talking about how everything has been going this 2020, I am very used to human interaction at events and conventions and talking to people and seeing people. So getting a little taste of it online is very good for the soul.
Yeah, it definitely makes everything a little bit better to have these connections.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that we did with Yaya, I'd love to do with you is how did it start and how's it going? So when did this all start for you, this journey through the creepy and the scary and costuming?
So I would say my journey started as a child with my love of Halloween and horror and all things spooky. And then as I got older, I just found ways to incorporate that into my life. And as an adult, you get to make those choices and you get to do what you want to do. And I've been lucky enough to craft this world around me that is that. So I do lots of things. I do a horror show and podcast. I do a Halloween themed kids puppet show, and really just pull from my love and nostalgia of things that I grew up with and create as an adult.
That's amazing. That's the best way to take it. And what I love is you found this niche of the horror and the scary, and you've really been able to adapt it to your personal taste and what you excel in. And like you said, you're working on that podcast now, Let's Get Spooky. You've been doing the puppet show with the Fiends. Tell us a little bit about like what started shifting your needle in that direction when you were like, I love this this niche. Now, what can I do with it?
You know what? I think for me, we live in a really amazing time where in the past, if you wanted to create something, you needed cameras, you needed a crew, you needed a sound guy. And in this day and age, if you want to create something, you can get those tools at a very reasonable price and you can do it yourself. And I think at a certain point in my life, I just realized I could wait for someone else to do this for me, or I could just do it myself and do it how I want to do it and be my own boss. And I think once that light switch kind of flicked off in my brain, I was so much more happy. I quit my day job and I was like, you know what? I'm going to create what I want to create for myself. My husband and I are a two-man team. We do everything together. So we have each other's support and we just went for it. And we figured, you know what? If we fail together. And what's the worst that can happen? We do something else. But it really worked out for us. And we've been lucky enough to continue to do it even through the crazy world that we're living in right now.
That's amazing. And through that, like, tell me a little bit about your puppet show, because I think that that's such a unique take that the first thing I think of when I think of horror is not necessarily puppets, despite, you know, old cinema and any sort of practical effect. It's not my one-to-one jump. So yeah. Tell me how you got there with that.
So essentially, the puppet show, The Fiends, is imagine Sesame Street meets Halloween. And my husband and I, we love puppets. We love Halloween. And we were thinking back to the things that we enjoyed as kids and thinking about what is available now. And also in the sense of what can we do to help kids learn in a fun way and something that we would have loved when we were kids. And so we decided to create a Halloween themed puppet show, and it's very much educational and entertainment based. We teach ABCs and 1-2-3s. We published a children's book. It's called That's Using Your Imagination Pirates. We do sing-alongs, we do cooking. We do little adventures where the puppets use their imagination and they kind of take you through worlds that they create in their minds. And we just wanted to do something really fun. Another kind of striking point to us was we do a lot of horror conventions. And when you go to horror conventions, it's very adult-ish, and not in, in a bad way, but everything's geared towards horror movies, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, which are not really kid-friendly things. Kids watch them, and kids are at those horror cons because they enjoy those films with their parents. But there's not really anything that's specifically for them. So we wanted to create something that, say you go to a convention, there's something for the kids that is age appropriate, that is educational. It's going to teach them something really good, but it's also super fun.
That's awesome. So again, people in chat are going crazy right now. We see a lot
Hi
of
guys.
Horror
I
artists
see everybody.
In there, so it's really exciting seeing those chats come in. Thank you for always leaving messages, people in the chat. If you have any questions for Vamp, please leave them in here so that we can ask
yes,
them.
Please.
Because we're going to be doing a Q&A in just a second. But one last thing, I think that something that you do so well is you have found success through authenticity. So for artists out there who are looking to kind of develop their own voice and create their own things and take that leap like you and your husband did, what are ways that they can use their authenticity to take that step?
I think that the most important thing in whatever you do, whether it's a kids puppet show, whether it's making a movie, whether it's making candles, whatever it is that you believe in what you're doing and that you love what you're doing. Because if you don't, it is not going to be fun for you. And the authenticity, I think, behind doing what you choose is that that is very much seen by the audience. People can tell if you're faking it. And people always use that term, fake it till you make it. Don't do that because you want to, you want to love what you're doing. And if you're faking it, that's not love. That's work. So when you go into something, just make sure that you believe in it. And if you believe in it and you work hard enough, good things will happen. It may not happen right away. Yaya mentioned it when she was talking about it. There's always bumps in the road at the beginning. And if there weren't those bumps, we wouldn't appreciate the success. So don't be discouraged. Just stay positive. And I know right now is a tough time to stay positive. But trust me, if you believe in what you do, you will have success.
That's awesome. So we do have questions starting to roll in. Someone asked, what is your biggest inspiration?
You know what? That's tough. I would say that growing up, I was surrounded by a very loving and encouraging family. And even if it was something weird that I was into, or it wasn't like the cool, trendy thing, I had a very good support system. So I was always kind of like pushed to do what I wanted. And that has helped me to kind of not question myself, knowing that even if I fail, I'll have that support system to pick me back up.
So I think I just want to jump on that before we get to other questions, but when you are taking those leaps and having that faith in yourself, what are some steps that people might be able to take to kind of reaffirm to their themselves that they have something that they're like able to push forward?
I think what's really important, it kind of goes back to what I said before, is if you have an idea that you believe in and you think, even if you think only one or two people might think it's cool, that's worth moving forward on. There are so many like-minded people in the world. And I think that a lot of the times you get kind of trapped in your little bubble and you think, oh, you start doubting yourself. Oh, people aren't going to think this cool. This is cool. People aren't going to like this, which throw that out the window. If you have something that you believe in, it's worth pursuing.
Awesome. Some people here are really taking your love for horror and wanting to know recommendations for horror films to watch. So as someone who is a connoisseur, what would you recommend?
It depends. So obviously Universal Monsters, all the classic old horror movies. I'm trying to think of what I've watched recently that's been interesting. I just recently subscribed to Shudder, which has been pretty cool because it's very horror themed.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like, I am a an equal opportunist when it comes to horror. So people are like, you know, what's the really good stuff? I will watch the really terrible stuff as well as the really good stuff because it just makes it that much more awesome. Recently, I just rewatched all of the Halloweens, which has been really fun. God, I'm trying to think of what is new horror that's amazing. I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna let that mull over and I'm gonna come back.
Yeah.
I'm being flooded with so many things and I want to make sure I give a good response.
No worries. Yeah, I think you were mentioning Shudder and man, this content on there has been so much fun.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it, because some of it's not great, some of it's amazing, but it's all fun.
Yeah. So I saw how did you go from cosplaying at conventions to being a host?
So I'd always, funny story, I actually started going to conventions hosting my own show. It was called I Love Nerd Girls. So you essentially could watch our videos if you couldn't go to the con and see what you missed out on. So before I was even dressing up, I was hosting the show. So my journey kind of has gone like ups and downs and a little forward, a little backward. And so I've always been hosting, and then I started dressing up for the show as I was hosting. And I was like, this will be fun to be in costume, which was very fun. And then my hosting career kind of, as I developed a bigger fan base, kind of kicked off a little bit more.
Awesome. And then I also saw, does your personality in your Fiend show or on your podcast differ from your actual personality? Like, how do you present yourself differently when you are in costume or when you are hosting?
People always ask, what's your character? Because they see the fangs, they think that it's something that I turn on. And really, in everything I do, it's just me. obviously for the kids show, it's a little bit more family friendly targeted because we're trying to teach kids. So my tone is a little different, but in everything that I do, it's me. It's my personality coming through just in different facets.
Very cool. And then Icefield 9 wants to know, what has the hardest part of your journey been so far?
I think the hardest part is just the constant change and shifts, because being self-employed, you don't have someone telling you what you have to do. You don't have a 9-to-5 schedule. You have to wake up every morning wanting to work hard for yourself because you're your own boss. And if you fail, you're letting yourself down. So it's, I think the biggest struggle is just staying positive and keeping that energy up, because it's a lot of work when you have all the jobs and they're all yours.
Yeah. So for artists, I think that applies across pretty easily to also being self-employed. How do you keep yourself on track in those situations, or how do you set goals for yourself to make sure that you aren't letting yourself down?
I definitely hold myself accountable. I hold my husband accountable. He holds me accountable. We are big believers and we like make lists. We write things down. I have a lot of things in my phone and calendar and reminders. I'm a little bit, people would say it's OCD, and I don't see that as a bad thing. So it helps keep me organized. I'm a very organized person, and that has helped me a ton.
Excellent. And then finally, someone says they want to hear about your bees.
Yes. On top of everything else that I do, I'm also a beekeeper, and I encourage people to save the bees. And I spread information and education about beekeeping and the bees and how important they are. My bees are doing fantastic. I just checked them yesterday. So all is well in the Vamp Farms bee world. If you're ever interested, feel free to send me a message. If you have any questions, I post stories about my beekeeping journey and when things go wrong, when things go right. So yes, feel free to DM me questions if you have bee questions. I love answering them. And I recently, which is to come in 2021, wrote a book, a children's book about bees to spread education, because it is a very misunderstood thing. A lot of people are afraid of bees and don't realize how important they are. So I feel like if I can write it down in a way that kids could understand it, everyone can understand it and how important it is.
It's very true. I love that. I love that all three people today that we have on are authors. That's so incredible. We do have three people, like I said, so we're going to keep moving along. But thank you so much for joining us today. And where can people tune in and watch your work and listen to your work? Where can people find you?
So on social media, on all social media, I'm just at Vamp, V-A-M-P. You can also find more information at my website. It's leannavamp.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Hey, everybody. I'm Alicia Marie, and I'm a costume concept artist and designer and kind of a fitness expert. That's why my name is sort of cheesy, but I just had it for years. And I really do. Fitness is a huge part of who I am, even though I am a costumer. But so here we are.
You look good. Thank you. Fiona did an amazing makeup. Like, look, there's like no seams. How did she do that? So what I would love is, I've known you for years. I would love for you to be able to share a little bit of your journey from how you started to where you are now.
Okay. It's a long story. I used to make costumes when I was younger because I've always loved to dress up. I'm a little crazy. I think like most people who are creatives, we're a little off, but how we express ourselves comes out differently. For me, like my creativity and art is like changing myself into things or changing other people into things, like seeing people, the human body is kind of a canvas. That's why cosplay, costume making is definitely an art form. It's how we get out our creativity. Cosplay is hugely like a performance art along with what you're wearing. So I was always really like outgoing and active when I was a kid. I liked making costumes, but I got into fitness and studied science all through school. 2010, I finally got like a ticket to go to San Diego Comic-Con. And I mean, I grew up on the East Coast. So it always seemed like just like, I don't know, worlds away, San Diego Comic-Con. So when I finally got a ticket, got the ability to go, I was like, well, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go all out. And I went, and I have me and a friend of mine, another friend of mine, put together this insane Storm from X-Men costume. And it was, I mean, I walked downstairs like really nervous. Like, everyone's going to think I look like an idiot. Everyone's going to say you should just stop cosplaying and jump off a bridge. But the reception from people can be really cruel. They're like, you look like crap. Go kill yourself. People can be mean, you know? So I was worried. I was like, what? The reception was so great. And I was like, I hit the ground running. I'm never stopping. I had so much fun. And just being around people who are all fans of, like, superheroes and, like, just geeking and fandoms. Like, look at us. We're, like, adults and we're dressed in costumes. We're having fun with this. I was like, what's there not to love? Life is hard. Adulting is hard. Escapism is fun.
So one of the things that we always talk about is our love of different fandoms. We always latch on to whatever's coming up, whatever's new, we find something. So since quarantine, have you found any new fandoms that you've really been enjoying?
Are you kidding me, Matt? Literally, okay, so we're stuck at home, everything's closed, nothing to do, especially because we're in California where everything is really like code red, shut down. We have nothing to do at all. I really miss conventions and everything, obviously. You kind of have to find a way to keep yourself, to stay true to yourself and keep yourself happy and not getting depressed. And even though you can go online and like see people on social media, there's still part of you that's like, I want to do something. I've been wanting to learn how to play Dungeons and Dragons forever. We're finding the time, and every time, like, so for instance, you look at this book and it seems so like confusing and complicated. Guess what? You're at home all day with like nothing to do on the weekend or whatever. Learn how to play. So I learned how to play Dungeons and Dragons, and like cosplay, I hit the ground running. It was a way for me to like get dressed up for live streams instead, and in characters, like original characters that I create for myself, sort of. Like telling stories with your friends, being weird, using weird accents to try to get the point across or to make your character into something very interesting. I had so much fun playing Dungeons and Dragons with my friends. And I was like, I hate the fact that it took me this long to be able to get into it because it's brought me so much joy and creativity on like another level. And not to mention that the D&D community is absolutely crazy. People are insane, but it's beautiful, and we love it, and we all have so much fun just being completely extra. And you've known me for a long time, Matt. You know I'm extremely extra in general. So I mean, and the reason my D&D.
I've never used that word.
Yeah. It's just literally, I'm super hyper, but I'm really excited to be like relaxed for a second and talking to you because this season has been insane.
I was happy we were able to find a single gap in time for you, because I know even yesterday you were on set doing a secret project. You are constantly everywhere, so love getting you on. And I'm surprised that we can see stuff in your workshop. I thought all of this was under NDA.
I know. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, most of the things I was doing like the past, like that's the thing. You know, when you're making, especially I do make a lot of costumes for people who are doing film and TV or music, whatever. And a lot of people don't want you out there going, look what I'm making for this person. So a lot of times I'm not even able to say until the thing itself comes out or until the person who is, you know, has commissioned me to make their thing for them to put it up before I say anything. So I just like make things, forget about it until I'm able to share it. And when I'm able to share it, I get so excited because I get nervous every time someone puts on anything I made for them, because automatically you look at it and like you're like a true artist. You're like, it looks like crap. I do not like it. We're very hard on ourselves. But seeing the client like super happy and like when they put it on, the transformation and their whole personality, you're like, yeah, that's so right.
Well, why don't you share some of the people that you've been able to costume recently that you can talk about?
Okay. NDAs are a new thing. But I'll talk about one person. At the way beginning of pandemic in April, and like there's nothing really going on, so that really, I got to make a Sonya Blade costume for Ronda Rousey, and it was really fun meeting her because I've always thought she was so cool, especially the WWE stuff and everything. And she's kind of like a natural baddie. So, and she just, she wanted to be Sonya Blade. So it was, I was like, I wanted to turn you into Sonya Blade like 2 years ago. So the fact that like, I actually get to do it now and like thing and like being able to talk to her and interact with her and find out like why she wanted to do it. And then she did a little video where she did a whole like Sonya thing. Like I was just like floored. And that's when I really sit back and I go, how is this like my life that I'm able to do this? It's so much fun.
So what sort of pieces are your favorite to be able to create?
Okay, that's a really hard question. Matt.
What are some of your favorite? If you hear like you get to make this, you're like, okay. Yay.
I'm like, yay. I'm like, usually when I'm in the middle of making a costume, like I said, I'm like, this looks like crap. I hate it. Throw it in the garbage. I want to take it up to the traffic and run it over with my car or something like that. I love working with foam. I used to work with thermoplastic, but I realized there's a lot more you can do with foam and paint. This was like, I did like an Orko sort of like costume, Orko costume. This is all just foam. Like it's been heat treated and then I painted it, like airbrushed it to look like Orko's hat and the ears are attached. Fits really well. I do like foam. This I made in like 24 hours. It was a hammer for Mortal Kombat for Shao Kahn.
24 hours? This That's so fast.
Too fast. I had to like, I was like with a blow dryer, like, yeah, dry, please, fast dry. But this is all foam. It's hollow. Inside of here is a, what are they called again? You know seaweed when you eat like dried seaweed?
Yeah, the nori.
Yeah, the nori. This is a, inside of here is a seaweed box. And I just sort of foam. And painted it. So I'm here like, yeah, and then it lights up sort of. So this actually made me so much, this was so much fun, but this was a labor of, this was me crying at 3 o'clock in the morning, like, I'm only gonna get an hour and a half of sleep.
Well, you're also a huge MK fan. Like, you and Mortal Kombat, like, go way back.
Psychotic Mortal Kombat fan. And, you know, when it comes to cosplay, I love my superheroes, and I will stand my superheroes forever, but I love video game characters because you literally get to see them in action, sort of. So, like, you're watching Sonya Blade, you're watching Jade, you're watching Sindel, Mortal Kombat, you're watching them actually, like, move and, like, kick butt in, like, full-color graphics, and they're usually so, like, they're, like, they have the attitude and, like, the body movement, and they're, like, with their weapons, and I'm like, yeah, and you feel it. So what you want to do is you want to become them. Take it to a convention with the weapons, walk in the convention like this.
So we're getting a few questions in. I want to make sure that anyone who wants to ask a question, you can put it in the comments. We'll get to it. The first question that I really love is, how do you collect your ideas for future cosplays? Do you jot them down on a phone notebook? Do you just come up with this for the moment?
That's the best question ever. I, like most people who cosplay, probably have lists of people you want to do. And you have like no time to do it. And then so I have a list of people, I have a list of cosplays I want to do. And then a list of cosplays that are like, you were saying earlier with Yaya, abandoned cosplays. I hate saying that, but I'm like, I'll get back to you. I promise I will get back to you. Over there behind this mannequin, I'm making this costume for someone else. Behind that, there's like a box of costumes that are halfway made. And I'm like, okay, what do I need to do for this one? And then somewhere like you, and I know that a lot of people, like, if you're an artist, like creative at all, you can be kind of impulsive, right? You're like, I love this character, I'm starting it tomorrow. And then you start making a character, but then like you lose steam, like a little bit in, and you're like, why am I making this again? And like Leanna was saying, when you're making a costume, it's time, it's patience, it's like energy, it's focus. If you don't absolutely love that character for you, like if you're not authentically loving that character, every single bit of it is going to feel like work and it's not going to be fun. So I tend to only cosplay characters that truly inspire me or they speak to me. Maybe they make me laugh, like I did Pennywise, only because I knew that was a troll move. I was like, I'm trolling everybody with this, and I know it. That was a troll move. But usually there's a reason behind the characters that I do. Either I like how they were introduced, so the story is really good, or I just like playing them, or I saw them in a comic book, and it's like, whoa, this this chick kicks some butt in this whatever, I want to do it. So it's usually like that.
Yeah, I feel like that taps into kind of a part of cosplay that not everyone knows about, but that everyone today has been really good at pointing out. It's not just dressing up. It's not just wearing it. You take on that personality and you become that person. So if it's a character that you don't love, why are you going to want to be them?
Exactly. You're not going to want to, first of all, you're not going to want to be it. You're not going to feel comfortable. You're, because most of the time, costumes, not comfortable. This one's comfortable because it's like, this one's like super comfortable. But usually costumes, like, aren't wearing armor all day, and how we connected on your, it's like usually not comfortable all day. So you have to really love and like feel good. Like today I am Arjun. I am King Arthas, and you have all this armor on, and you're sweating, and you have like blind contact lenses in your eyes, and you're walking around. If you love Arthas and you love being Arthas and Blizzard, you're gonna take that pain and wear it. So that's why I always say, just make sure you really love that character, man, or you're gonna be like, take this off me.
So we have a question. What other random objects have you incorporated into your costumes? Like, I know you make everything on your own, and you're very creative about it. So what other random things would we be surprised to know that you've put in there?
That's actually a really good question, because I oftentimes when I'm making, especially because a lot of times when you're making costumes for like film and TV, it'll be like a last minute costume. So you're like, last minute, what? So what you do is you look at the picture of like the character and you're like, what on this looks like something that exists in nature already? Can I get it and I can adapt it? Oh, those sleeves look like a jacket that I saw over here. And like I saw in the comments during Leanna's section, someone said, save the planet, recycle. That is so, you know how much disposable freaking clothing ends up in landfills? If you can go to a thrift store and cut stuff up and Frankenstein yourself a cosplay, do it. Save the planet, saves you money. Sometimes buying a bunch of old clothes is more thrifty than going to like fabric plant, going to a fabric plant or going downtown LA where all the fabric district is and buying 2-3 yards of fabric that are just going to sit around. Like I have shelves of fabric when I didn't need everything. You know what I mean? Like, let me show you something I made. I did a Mara from Borderlands, right?
Uh-huh.
I bought this denim vest from a thrift store, and I love a Mara because I was like, yo, she's cool. She flexes. So I was like, I love this character. This, right? These is all foam. These right here, I got from the spikes I got from Amazon. It was like a kid's bike helmet. And you can buy a bike. It was like $9.99. I bought one. I cut the horns off the bike protection helmet, pushed it through the foam. So then it stays. These totally stayed the whole time. And I wore it to convention, no problem. I painted it to give it like a cell shade look, sort of. And this is all just fabric paint you can get from like Michael's, you know? The fabric paint was how I was able to make it look, give it that like sort of cell shade cartoon look. And I used Sortarians to make like distress like that. These look like screws. They're not. They're brads, like for paper. Brads. Yeah.
So question answered. Bicycle helmet and paper brads. All snuck into one thing.
So these, I did a V from Cyberpunk cosplay, and these were just Puma, like Puma sneakers I got from a tag sale. I added like this panel from foam to look like these little things. You know, like people make miniature houses and stuff like that with little mini pieces. Mm-hmm. These little like ridges, I don't know if you can see it, are like, I got a fence. They were selling, it was like a fence. I broke the fence pieces off and used like shoe glue onto here to give these like the cyberpunk, the street kid skin look. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sometimes when you're making costumes fast, like you have to say, okay, what can I adapt first? And then I'll make everything else on top of it.
Okay. So if you could give one tip to someone who's looking to start creating their own costume look, just wanting to get started, what's one piece of advice that you would give them to get started?
Okay, there's going to be a couple. The first one is YouTube University. Do not discount YouTube University. There's a lot of information. When I first started wanting to make costumes for myself, because like Leanna was saying, it comes a point when you're like, at first I was like, I don't have the skills for that, to make like a cosplay, someone's to make fun of me. Then I realized sometimes there are things that I know that I'm going to want for myself, so I better figure out how to do it. My first costumes looked ridiculous, but I rocked them out. But I look back at them now and I see where I've come from, and I'm like, wow, Oh, okay. That was awesome. You know what I mean? So yeah, okay, the second thing I like to say is don't be scared. Because a lot of times I would do, like, panels at conventions, and people would be like, but what if, like, someone says something to me? You have to just literally go out there and be like, I'm doing this for myself. I'm having fun with it. If people can, there will always be people who have something to say about what you're doing, so you might as well do what you want to anyway. So it's like YouTube, start small. Do not be afraid to make mistakes. We all come from somewhere. Lana, Yaya, we all came from, you know, one point, and we're here now, like chapter 12, but chapter one looks very different than chapter 12.
Very true. Well, hey, we're coming up on the very end of it. It was a very fast stream, but thank you so much for joining us and being a part of it. It was so great.
I don't get to see you very often. So
I know. We'll have to hang again soon. But it was great seeing you. Thank you for joining us. Where can people find you online really quick?
You can find me anywhere, like Twitter, Facebook, obviously here at Alicia Marie Body. And I'm going to start doing, like, sharing more. I think I might make a shoot-off page to share more on my actual construction. It's like I just never feel, I'm just, you know, I'm a little bit of, like, not as confident, but I realize that a lot of people do want to see my process. So I'll share it, even if it's crazy and weird. I will share my process with you. And you'll be like, what was she doing? But it came together. It's not a stupid idea if it works, right?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. All right. Well, thank
Halloween
you, everyone.
First, wait.
Oh, okay.
Happy Halloween.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.